I think I'm ready. Touch anything. Fine. Welcome to the Pre-Dead Boys. It's a podcast about the history and culture of death and decomposition. My name is Dorian. With me, as always, is Max. Max, how you doing? How's your weekend?
It's pretty good. You know, we had a snowmageddon here in Ohio.
Yes, we did.
So I went sledding.
Nice.
Which is very fun. What were you up to?
I went to an anime convention this weekend. Went to OhioCon.
Sure.
It was pretty good.
Okay.
You want to see something I got when I was there?
Oh, boy.
I bought a little something.
Is it... Jesus! Oh, my God! Dorian is currently swinging around a pair of wooden nunchucks in my room.
Aren't these sweet?
Right next to my window. Oh, God. Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know how to use them yet, but they're a lot of fun.
Wait,
you
want to
see this?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can give them a swing. Just make sure you got clearance above that rack there.
Oh, they were made in China.
Yeah.
Ah.
Don't pull your eye out.
Ah.
Oh, he's hitting stuff.
Oh, fuck.
Leave it to the weapons expert of the podcast, Dorian Laffrey.
Fucking.
Anyway, I am the proud owner of nunchucks now, and I just wanted to share that good news with you. And if you hear that I am in the hospital, that is why.
That's why? Because all your fingers are broken.
Yeah, I've already been looking up YouTube videos trying to find nunchuck tricks and tips. And so far, all that I've found is really serious guys in pajamas telling me how to defend myself in a street fight with nunchucks. And it's a fun toy, but I'm skeptical that it's going to actually protect me as any form of self-defense.
I thought you were supposed to start with, like, padded nunchucks. No? Because...
I mean, the people who are not experts in weaponry and the martial arts probably start with something like that, but I figure I'm already qualified to go straight for the real heavy wooden thing.
It's like how after you turn 25, you don't have to do your temps. You can just apply for your driver's license immediately.
Yeah. I was born for this. I was born to have nunchucks.
Sure. Good Lord.
I say nunchucks, but it's just one nunchaku. That's the proper term. So, do you see how qualified I am for this? Do you understand now?
I'm happy that you're happy right now.
I'm very happy.
Because, do you remember how mad you got during our cryonics episode?
Yes, I was very upset.
So, I have a feeling that today's episode isn't going to be any easier for you to stomach.
Okay.
Because what we're going to be doing is going cryonics adjacent and sidling up with some folks whose sole mission is to defeat us death-positive folks.
Uh-oh.
Because today, Dorian, we're going to be talking about transhumanists and their goal of defeating death.
Oh, wow. All right.
You're going to be so mad.
Well, before I start assaulting these people with nunchucks, no, I'm not going to do that.
You might after we read some of their stuff.
Well, they are the enemy. And in order to defeat the enemy, we need to know the enemy.
How do we know the enemy? You mean learning about them?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
to learn what you
set me up
what
there.
You researched there.
Okay, cool. Well, I did.
did you? Did you do research for this? Or are you
I did. I prepped this one. So, without further ado, Dorian... Let's prepare for this battle with the Pre-Dead Boys crack into the topic moment. Mine's brought to you by Waterloo.
And mine's polar again.
Ah.
This is good.
So, transhumanism is a very broad term. Goes back pretty deep into history and science fiction as well, as you might assume. So, as always, let's start with a definition of what transhumanism is, straight from the horse's mouth. Here's how transhumanists define their philosophy and mission from their website, humanityplus.org.
Transhumanism is a loosely defined movement that has developed gradually over the past two decades. Transhumanism is a class of philosophies of life that seek the continuation and acceleration of the evolution of intelligent life beyond its currently human form and human limitations, by means of science and technology, guided by life-promoting principles and values. Transhumanism takes a multidisciplinary approach in analyzing the dynamic interplay between humanity and the acceleration of technology. In this sphere, much of our focus and attention is on the present technologies, such as biotechnology and information technology, and anticipated future technologies, such as molecular nanotechnology and artificial general intelligence. Transhumanism seeks the ethical use of these and other speculative technologies. Our theoretical interests focus on post-human topics of the singularity, extinction risk, and mind uploading, whole brain emulation, and substrate-independent minds.
You mad yet?
I would be really entertained by this if this were a Philip K. Dick novel, but I have a feeling that there's people who are taking this maybe a little bit more seriously than they should.
Oh, you have no idea. So I didn't want to spend the whole episode just like dunking on transhumanists.
Yep.
But they set themselves up quite a bit. You know, I've written a lot in my time, and one of the first rules of writing is don't start every sentence with the same word. And if you notice what you just read, there's like four sentences and they all start with transhumanism.
I appreciate that they're putting the brand out there.
They are branding.
It doesn't roll off the tongue, though, I'll say that much. It's a mouthful of a word.
I don't pronounce things super well sometimes, and the S's get a little tricky, and transhumanism gets a little gummy for me.
It's very gross to our Midwestern tongues, I think, to have to say that many T's and S's.
Yeah, it's not good. So, Humanity Plus, as I stated, is kind of the main organization of the transhumanist movement. They do have members all over the globe, but any photo that you see of their activity, it's pretty white. Like,
okay.
It's kind of painfully white looking.
Okay, so there's a consistent demographic that we're dealing with here.
Yeah, it's a lot of rich white people.
Okay.
To break down the definition of transhumanism into a more digestible phrasing, they hope to mix human biology with technology in order to allow people to live above and beyond what is possible through sheer biological means. Of course, sheer biological means also involves death. There's not really any way around it. If you're born, you also have to...
eat.
Die.
Oh, yeah, eat. Yeah, die. Die.
Die. But transhumanists believe that there should be a way around death. There should be a way to circumvent death, if you will.
Circumvent?
Circumvent. It's an Arrested Development joke for all my Arrested Development heads out there.
Oh, I didn't. That one went over my head. I would have got it if it were a Blue Myself joke.
But the way around death is... you know, that's what they're talking about when they talk about stuff like mind uploading. So, this is why we're talking about it on a death-positive podcast. The same way as the cryonics folks, these people believe that death can be entirely prevented. So naturally, as you might imagine, this stirs up a few questions. Some of these questions are asked so frequently that the Humanity Plus website has an extensive FAQ section.
Okay.
It explains a lot of their viewpoints. So here's their response to the question, but isn't death part of the natural order of things?
Average human lifespan hovered between 20 and 30 years for most of our species history.
I'm gonna time out really quick.
Yeah.
Because no statistic makes me angrier than that. When you see like, oh, 20 to 30 year lifespan, if you don't know, that's just because a lot of people died in infancy.
Right.
So a lot of people died when they were little kids and when they were old. So the average is 20 to 30.
Right. It's not that most people live to 20 and 30.
Yeah, if you made it to like 15, you were set.
Okay.
You would live a normal life. So, first strike against these dummies. Keep reading.
We're going to get hate mail. I mean, we've never really received hate mail.
No.
We've only received kind, supportive words from people who like us and are very, very sweet to us, and we really appreciate that. But I'm ready. I bought these nunchucks.
Kind of preemptively got you riled up for this one.
Average human lifespan hovered between 20 and 30 years for most of our species' history. Most people today are thus living highly unnaturally long lives. We now suffer the inevitable decline of old age. Damage accumulates at a faster pace than it can be repaired. Tissues and organs begin to malfunction, and then we keel over and die. That people should make excuses for death is understandable. Until recently, there was absolutely nothing anybody could do about it, and it made some degree of sense then to create comforting philosophies, according to which dying of old age is a fine thing. Deathism, if you will. Today, we can foresee the possibility of eventually abolishing aging, and we have the option of taking active measures to stay alive until then, through life extension techniques and, as a last resort, cryonics. This makes the illusions of deathist philosophies dangerous, indeed fatal, since they teach helplessness and encourage passivity. If some people would still choose death, that's a choice that is, of course, to be regretted, but nevertheless, this choice must be respected. The transhumanist position on the ethics of death is crystal clear. Death should be voluntary.
I don't feel bad coming at them. They came at us first. The deathist philosophy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
To be fair, we might be being more aggressive than them. They are granting that. They're not saying, like, yeah, nobody should ever die ever.
Yeah.
Stop dying. They're just opening up the options, right?
Yeah. They're putting the options on the table.
I'm starting to side with these guys. I think I'm gonna split this podcast apart. You have your pre-dead boys, and I'll have my never dead boys, starring Dorian, and that's about it.
Oh, buddy, you just wait till we get deeper into this.
Okay.
I do appreciate. I'll give them this. They're upfront about it. They are extremely upfront with the fact that they believe that aging can be abolished, and that death will be completely removed from the human equation.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's a big state. It's upfront to say that, but they're doing the damn thing.
That's hopeful.
Calling the shot, yeah.
That's posse, dude. PMA. That's punk rock. These guys are punk rock.
Get my Sprainard shirt out right here. So, as you might expect, completely removing death from, you know, the world brings about a whole host of problems. You know, what do we do about overpopulation?
Mm.
Wouldn't this result in eugenics?
Mm.
Choosing who gets to live and who gets to die when overpopulation gets too high. How would this be even remotely affordable? So a lot of these answers result in transhumanists basically shrugging their shoulders and saying, oh, science is going to fix it, you know? It's kind of like the worst possible version of folks who are like, oh, people are starving in the world. We should just grow more food.
Yeah, why don't we just do that?
Kind of ends up like that. It's like, well, you got to get it to the places first. And
It's a little bit of a privileged perspective to have, though. We'll just deal with it. Science will figure it out.
Yeah, and I think part of what upsets me about this is that it is inherently a very privileged thing to be like, oh, my life is so comfortable that I want to live forever, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough. And as you might guess, a lot of these folks seem like they're very, very into, like, TED Talks and optimization and, like, innovative Silicon Valley solutions, which is cool, but, you know, they're not all bad.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be upfront about that. These people are not all bad, and they're not evil, and they're not all like Elon Musk level supervillains.
They're certainly well-meaning. There's something that they're at least trying to be altruistic here.
Yeah, and I think they genuinely believe that their consciousness can be preserved.
Right.
And they want to do that, you know? So let's give them a fair shake. Before we delve into some of the problems with transhumanism, let's go over a little bit of their backstory.
Transhumanist views can be traced as far back as the quest for immortality in the Epic of Gilgamesh, as well as in historical quests for the Fountain of Youth, the Elixir of Life, and other efforts to stave off aging and death. Further technological ideas were raised by mid-20th century science fiction authors, such as Arthur C. Clarke. The biologist, Julian Huxley, is generally regarded as the founder of transhumanism, after using the term for the title of an influential 1957 article. Huxley described transhumanism as follows, quote, "Up till now, human life has generally been nasty, brutish, and short. The great majority of human beings have been afflicted with misery. The human species can, if it wishes, transcend itself. Not just sporadically, an individual here in one way, an individual there in another way, but in its entirety, as humanity."
Yeah, so it's always been kind of a whole species movement. And if you recall, the 1950s and 60s was also when cryonics really started kicking into gear as well. That's when organizations like Alcor first started showing up on the scene. There was also this huge boom of science fiction writing at the time. So transhumanism, as we knew it today, including organizations like Humanity Plus, who we read about earlier, really kicked into gear in the early 1980s, kind of born out of people who had grown up reading pulp science fiction novels and were kind of experiencing what it was like to be on the forefront of a lot of developing technology. Transhuman student groups began to meet at UCLA, the University of California, Los Angeles.
Is that what that stands for?
Uh-huh, UniCali La.
Oh.
But they started to meet there, and they started to use the internet to connect across the globe. So in the early days of the internet, when it's pretty much just message boards,
yeah,
that's how they were kind of disseminating these ideas. So you can see how they've been intertwined with science and technology for almost the entirety of their history. And honestly, I think that focus on science and technology seems to be why they kind of have a little bit of trouble interacting with real-world issues sometimes.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these folks seem like they spend so much time looking forward that they kind of forget to look around them. I think these people are incredibly intelligent and are really on another level of conceptual thinking. But I think sometimes that comes at the cost of practical concerns in the day-to-day, you know?
Sure.
And that's not to say that they never think about how these issues will affect the world. They just think that the idea of science will solve a lot of the issues as they arise. So, you know, if we run out of land on Earth, we'll just go to space. And if we can't build in space, we'll just have AI and nanobots do it all. But it's kind of like we got to take baby steps to get there, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little Jurassic Park-y.
It's a little Titan A-E-E. You
oh,
ever
is
see
it?
Titan A-E?
Oh, no, because it terrified me as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, I remember seeing a preview, and I was so freaked out by it, I refused to watch it.
Oh, I loved it. I had it on VHS, and they cuss in it, and I thought that was awesome.
That was by the same people who did, like, Atlantis, right?
No, Atlantis was Disney. Titan A.E. was Don Bluth.
Oh, the All Dogs Go to Heaven people.
Yeah, The Secret of Nim, all that.
Cool,
all
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it might have been their last movie that they made before they just stopped producing movies and stopped competing with Disney.
Sure.
But, yeah. The band Lit was on the soundtrack with an original song.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it was a great movie. I don't know if it holds up, though. I'm a little nervous.
To rewatch.
I want to go back and watch it, and it's probably really cringy.
I'll have to check that out. So now that we've talked about who transhumanists are and what they want, let's dive into exactly how they want to do all this. So right off the bat, proper transhumanists don't really get down with cloning. They don't want to be like, we're just going to clone people and you'll live on forever through clones, you know?
Yeah, that's cheating.
Yes, it is cheating. And I didn't come across it on a lot of their websites, but they seem to be more interested in the brain than the body. But I did find a very, very good Kickstarter that will let you get cloned and is worth a peek. So take a look at this.
Oh, www.kickstarter.com/projects/itgoeson/sendyourDNAtoTheFutureToLiveAgain.
Now, this Kickstarter project titled, can you read that again?
Send your DNA to the future to live again. Here's a subtitle. Start prepping today to take advantage of tomorrow's technology.
Now, this did not get funded.
Sadly. It's very under budget.
This is kind of what I think a lot of people think of when they think of transhumans. Like, you'll just be cloned forever.
Yeah.
But this kind of seems like a cheap knockoff of what the actual transhuman society is about. I don't know if this is a joke or not. You can watch the video and tell me if you have any ideas or thoughts.
In the future, human cloning will be a reality. Legal, regulated, safe, a sort of human immortality will exist. Unfortunately, it'll be too late for you. You'll be dead. Just collect a few hairs, some nail clippings, or a tooth or bone fragment, and insert them into a glass vial.
Wait. She's dumping a little baggie filled with... Which is it?
It's like nail clippings.
Going in order of how creepy it is, it's either hair, nail clippings, teeth, or bone fragments. In that specific order, it just gets creepier. What does she have a baggie filled with?
Well, I think the thing
it's
is...
human powder. She's got human powder.
I think their thing is that they want, if you've cremated your relatives, you can bring them back in the future, too. With, their cremains.
Can you extract DNA from cremains?
I don't know, man. They make some big claims about cloning here that I don't really know how scientifically backed up they are.
Namely, that cloning will be a thing, and you'll be dead.
Yeah. Now, I have pulled a selection of their product description, which all Kickstarters have. And it gets pretty goofy. It makes me very happy to read this. So how about you break this off for us?
I'll do the honors.
This is exactly how it was written on their page.
Direct quote.
Yeah, and it says that they're based in Australia, so I don't think it's like an ESL thing. I think they're just weird.
All right. Until now, there hasn't been a personal and private use for our DNA. Well, now there is. Lots of uses. Some for remembrance, some for relationships, some with your pets, some for sentimental and emotional reasons. This campaign focuses on the science fiction use, time-traveling DNA immortality. Even though both the technology and social acceptance of human DNA regeneration could still be centuries away. There's a period there, that's the sentence. There's nothing stopping us. Quote-unquote, prepping... today, to take advantage of tomorrow's technology. Therefore, don't allow your never-to-be-repeated-in-all-of-time DNA that has taken evolution millions of years to perfect perish with you after only one lifetime, when it could, with a little help from you now, one day be regenerated to live and love again. And again in the future. The punctuation here is torture.
Yeah, it's, I was trying to think of an analogy for what these people are like to actual transhumanists, because these people, the people who did this Kickstarter are just kind of like, yeah, man, just clone yourself, and then you'll just live again and again and again, and I don't think that's how any of this works.
Yeah, you know what happens when you do that? You also die again and again and again and again.
Well,
because what happens with all those clones? Why do you got to keep cloning the same one? Because you keep running out of clones because they all keep dying, right?
That's true. But I like the way they've set this Kickstarter up is it makes it seem like you're just getting extra lives. And we're going to get into how like the soul kind of factors into transhuman beliefs.
Yeah.
But like if I have a dog and then I clone the dog, it's not the same dog. It's a different thing. It just looks similar. I don't know. It's very strange.
Yeah.
The biggest difference between these folks and legitimate transhumanists is that this is pretty much just straight DNA cloning. And like, another thing I don't understand about this, man, I rarely look at my own body and be like, you know, I think this could take another go around. Like, I think this is like, I don't really know how like self-aggrandizing you have to be like, this body is so good. It should populate the world
for
centuries.
Eternity.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I just got low self-esteem or something like that.
You stop beating yourself up.
So, I don't know. This is really weird. Let's get on to the actual transhuman stuff.
Yes.
The big transhumanist pushes that we have right now are, one, cryonics, and two, brain preservation and uploading. So we did a whole episode about cryonics pretty early on, and you got pretty riled up about it. I didn't like it either.
I got a little spicy, I'm not going to lie.
If you want to learn more about cryonics, go back and listen to it. I think it's still one of my favorite episodes.
It was fun to record. And yeah. Ted Williams?
Total Darsh. You nailed it, though. Ted Williams, yeah. Big jerk.
I loved him.
Yeah.
I love doing that.
I think it was our first best episode.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, so go check it out. But in short, since we've covered it already, cryonics is the quote-unquote science of freezing a human body with the intention of unthawing the body in the future when medical science has figured out how to reverse the aging process. So, you know, the way your cells die as you get older and stop replicating, eventually we're going to fix that somehow.
Yep.
And that's when you're going to get unfrozen and fixed forever, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, Max, people said that you couldn't put all your music on one tiny little device. And then they made the damn iPod, so you tell me.
Put myself on blast there.
Yep.
And now it's in like a cloud or something. Who even...
That's right.
It's wild, man.
And soon you're going to be in the cloud.
Oh, we'll get there.
When you upload your brain. Yeah. I'm excited.
Oh, we're going to get there. But as we talk about in the episode, cryonics have a few problems, namely, it might not work, and also you usually do have to cut the person's head off.
Right.
There's a big thing about how you're just killing the person. And that's, it's like, it's kind of like how, you know how ASMR people, I've watched a lot of very funny ASMR videos.
Yeah.
And I understand how people find it very calming. But there's a lot you can tell about a person when they're an ASMR person, and the first thing they say is, listen, it's not sexual.
Right.
And it's kind of like, okay, I know where, like, your particular predilections lie.
Yeah, or at least your fan base. You know.
Yeah. When you talk to the cryonics people, and the first thing out of their mouth is, okay, listen, I know we're cutting someone's head off, but it's not murder. I'm like, right. Okay, maybe you're not the person I want to be talking to about this, you know?
Yeah, it raises more questions than provides answers.
Yeah, it's like, what? You're throwing your cards on the table really quickly.
Right.
So the second thing that the transhumanists are really into is mind uploading and brain emulation. I know you've got an emulator. You're a big fan of playing Earthbound.
Oh, yeah.
On your SNES.
Well, that's a SNES classic and a... I'm going to edit this out because this is probably of questionable legality, but I hacked it so that I can play ROMs, but I don't think you're supposed to do that. It's a little different from an emulator, though. I don't know. Like, Nintendo, don't at me.
Don't at me, Nintendo.
I love you. I bought a Switch and spent a lot of money on games on it. Please don't at me.
So even though I think all the people working on the science behind this mind uploading stuff, I think they're actually really smart. Sometimes they do incredibly funny things, like the big mind uploading website, minduploading.org. They just straight up pull their what is mind uploading FAQ answer from Wikipedia. I think that's extremely
Seriously?
Funny. Yeah, like they don't define it themselves. They just pull it from Wikipedia. So I guess let's quote minduploading.org quoting Wikipedia to find out what mind uploading is.
Whole brain emulation, or WBE, mind upload, or brain upload, sometimes called mind copying or mind transfer, is the hypothetical futuristic process of scanning the mental state, including long-term memory and self, of a particular brain and copying it to a computer. The computer could then run a simulation model of the brain's information processing, such that it responds in essentially the same way as the original brain and experiences having a conscious mind.
Yeah, so it's kind of exactly what it says. They can scan your brain, upload that to a computer system, and you'll just live in there. I'm using the royal we there. I don't think we as a species know jack shit about how the brain actually works.
Hmm.
It's like when you think about the deep ocean and how so much of it is unexplored. I think that's the complexity of the brain. And I certainly don't think we know enough to pull this off.
Yeah.
Like actual brain uploading.
Yeah. This might be anecdotal, but I feel like a lot of what I've read with brain scientists is that they don't. It's not that like we, the qualified experts of this podcast that we make in a bedroom, know that there is a lot of unknown about the brain. It's that the experts in the field are still trying to understand it.
Yeah, exactly. However, we've lucked out because we don't have to answer those questions, because this is where the mind uploading folks and the cryonics folks team up. They got together and said, hey, if we can't do it now, let's just wait around till we can. Have you ever heard of a company called Nectome?
Nectome?
Nectome. Nectome.
No.
So my friend Andrew told me about this when we were getting drinks a couple days back, so shout out to him. But Nectome, they're the company responsible for one of the best 1-2 article headline punches of all time. These two articles came out, you know, a couple weeks apart. The first headline is, a startup is pitching a mind uploading service that is, quote, 100% fatal. And then a couple weeks later, there was a follow-up article that was, MIT severs ties to a company promoting fatal brain uploading.
Wow. Let's see what they think of that.
I guess like MIT was a big investor in Nectome when they started.
Yeah.
And then Nectome came out and was like, oh yeah, this is, you're gonna die. And MIT was like, nope.
Yeah, I wonder why. I wonder why they backed out of that.
It's good, good, good stuff. But, you know, maybe we should figure out what exactly they were trying to do. So let's get into the first article, the 100% fatal article, a bit here.
Nectome is a preserve your brain and upload it company. That's a lot of dashes. Its chemical solution can keep a body intact for hundreds of years, maybe thousands, as a statue of frozen glass. The idea is that someday in the future, scientists will scan your bricked brain and turn it into a computer simulation. That way, someone a lot like you, though not exactly you, will smell the flowers again in a data server somewhere. This story has a grisly twist, though. For Nectome's procedure to work, it's essential that the brain be fresh. The company says its plan is to connect people with terminal illnesses to a heart-lung machine in order to pump its mix of scientific embalming chemicals into the big, carotid arteries in their necks while they are still alive. Project founder Robert McIntyre is upfront in describing the process as, quote, 100% fatal. The Nectome team demonstrated the seriousness of its intentions starting this January when McIntyre spent several weeks camped out at an Airbnb in Portland, Oregon, waiting to purchase a freshly deceased body. In February, they obtained the corpse of an elderly woman and were able to begin preserving her brain just 2.5 hours after her death. It was the first demonstration of their technique on a human brain. He says the woman's brain is, quote, one of the best preserved ever, although her being dead for even a couple hours damaged it.
So his plan is to take your brain, embalm it, and then eventually upload the data into a simulation where you would supposedly be able to continue living forever. It's kind of like, you seen the San Junipero episode of Black Mirror?
Yeah.
You know, it's like that. Like, that's what his goal is.
Right, uploading your consciousness to some kind of simulation.
Yeah. Where you're not alive, but you're able to exist, you know, in a simulation for as long as you want, you know?
Right.
So a huge question this raises, however, and that gets brought up in the Black Mirror episode, is the question of memory and the soul and, you know, just what that is. Are our memories and consciousness actually stored in the physical makeup of our brains? I think no. I don't really buy that. I don't think you can, if you copied my brain exactly, it would still be me.
Yeah. I mean, we're putting a lot of stock into the idea that the brain is the sole source of consciousness, which we have good reason to believe that it is as far as what we can see with science. But it's a little presumptuous to assume that that's the full picture, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I just have a really hard time believing that, like, everything about me or you or anyone else in the world can be reduced to, like, ones and zeros and then put into a computer simulation.
Right.
And I know we both have spiritual beliefs that don't really lend credence to that.
Yeah, we're a little biased.
Yeah. I assume some other folks out there also believe in a soul that's different from what is contained within the brain, or a consciousness than what's different than what's in the brain. However, luckily for those of us who believe in an intangible soul, the transhumanists also thought of this.
There is no scriptural basis in the Bible for assuming that God can't get to our soul if we freeze our physical body. Nor is there a single word in the Christian or Jewish scriptures, or the Quran, the Dhammapada, or the Tao Te Ching that prohibits cryonics. Or, for someone who believes in reincarnation, there are no traditional beliefs that say reincarnation is prevented when someone freezes to death, or whose body is frozen after clinical death. While the concept of a soul is not used much in a naturalistic philosophy such as transhumanism, many transhumanists do take an interest in the related problems concerning personal identity and consciousness. These problems are being intensely studied by contemporary analytic philosophers, and although some progress has been made, they have still not been resolved to general satisfaction.
So I would be really interested in reading some of that research.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how they can say, like, the part of me that is aware and looking through my eyes can be preserved somehow, you know? I think that's a really interesting question.
Yeah.
However, I also think that the sentence, there is no scriptural basis in the Bible for assuming that God can't get to our soul if we freeze our physical body, is like an A+, like, chef's kiss sentence. I think it's on par with turning him into a helicopter didn't hurt him because he was already dead from the animals episode.
Yeah.
I love a good sentence.
That's a good, very silly single thought.
Yeah.
Very well encapsulated.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
So let's close out with some info about how you, Dorian, can get more involved with spreading the transhumanist cause, if you so desire.
Yeah, I'm sold on transhumanism. I'm a transhumanist now, and I'm abandoning this podcast, so enjoy this, because it's my last ever appearance on Pre-Dead Boys.
Oh, buddy, I hope you're ready to get involved in some grassroots politics.
Here we go.
So you can go out, and you can get free membership into the American Transhumanist Party.
Okay.
Whose mission is putting science, health, and technology at the forefront of American politics. So they hold on to three core ideals. Those are as follows.
Ideal 1. The Transhumanist Party supports significant life extension achieved through the progress of science and technology. Ideal 2. The Transhumanist Party supports a cultural, societal, and political atmosphere informed and animated by reason, science, and secular values. Ideal 3. The Transhumanist Party supports efforts to use science, technology, and rational discourse to reduce and eliminate various existential risks to the human species.
Yeah, like, not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, those are agreeable.
Yeah, I think we're facing a lot of existential risks at the moment.
Yeah.
Like burning the planet and nukes.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be good to get those dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not to continue dunking on them. But let me read you another thing from the FAQ. This is from the question, who founded the U.S. Transhumanist Party? Zoltan Istvan, a renowned journalist, entrepreneur, and transhumanist, founded the U.S. Transhumanist Party. He ran for president of the United States in the 2016 elections, I don't remember that at all, to raise awareness for transhumanist political issues. His presidential campaign has been broadly covered in major media for its science and technology platform, and has earned more than 100 million views online. Next question. Is Zoltan Istvan still in charge of the U.S. Transhumanist Party? Answer, no.
That's it? That's it? What happened?
I don't know what happened with this dude.
I'm gonna.
But he went from 100 million views on something Like, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, probably YouTube.
100 million views on YouTube?
I guess we would know about that, huh?
Yeah.
That's quite a lot.
Maybe it's like every article he was ever had his name written in or something.
I don't know.
They don't appear to have a chapter in Ohio. So, unfortunately, we can't join.
Ugh.
But if you're out there and you want to get involved in, I don't know, maybe being a little afraid of death or wanting to extend life forever in some kind of vague way, maybe check them out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel much more I feel a lot of animosity towards these folks. I'm not sensing that you're as angry as you were last time.
No, I mean, I don't agree. I'm goofing around a lot when I say that I'm a transhumanist, because I'm not. I guess I sympathize with humanism to a great degree, and just wanting to see the world become a better place.
Oh, absolutely.
And I definitely get the perspective of someone who has these ideals.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that it's just short-sighted, and I worry that, like you put it, if you are so focused on looking forward to the future, you might not be aware of the things going on around you right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also want to say that science is based on the scientific method, which is using our resources and our intellectual faculties to learn things as they are. Speculation is not the same thing as science. That is science fiction. That's speculative fiction, which is fascinating, and I love it. One of my favorite genres of storytelling is science fiction.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, you're talking about Black Mirror. I love it for that reason. It's not the most well-written and necessarily well-produced show.
Sure.
But it's fascinating because of the questions that it asks.
Yeah.
But it seems so wild to me to base so much of your life and spend so much of your time and your money and your resources. You just put so many chips on technology being developed that we have no precedent for. And I understand that there's technology that exists now that we would have never thought possible even a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a reach, and it's definitely not science in the scientific method sense. You know, it's a bit of a reach.
I think part of my anger comes from having to read a lot of these websites and look at a lot of the videos, in which it is just a lot of really, really rich people who seem like they're just like, well, my life rules, so therefore I want to live as long as I possibly can.
Yeah.
But I think, like all people, there is an intrinsic fear of death there. And I think, you know, a lot of people look at that and can choose to accept that and be like, okay, I am accepting that I'm going to die. And that's where the death positive movement comes in.
Yeah.
And I think these folks are kind of just the converse of that, where they're like, well, I don't accept that I'm going to die, and I want to figure out a way around it, you know? Because if you're viewing this life as the only thing that exists, of course you don't really, you're not stoked to die.
Right.
You know, I think there are people who are like, who believe that the length of life kind of makes it a little richer, you know?
Hmm.
The fact that you don't do anything makes the experiences you do have valuable because they're individual and yours. But I also sympathize with people who are like, well, I want to experience everything, so I need to live for as long as I possibly can, even if that means in a computer simulation,
right,
to be able to do that, you know?
Right. I can't help but think about a humanist philosophy that does cover a lot of the good things about what we talked about, but in a more sensible way. It was The Long Now, which we talked about in a previous episode. I think that is a great way of focusing your attention on the long term and considering the impact that you're having on future generations and on the planet.
Yes.
Without necessarily assuming that you're going to be able to live forever or live for a longer time. That's actually, you can be constructive and like contribute to humanity in meaningful ways without necessarily living forever.
Absolutely, yeah.
And without being forever afraid and running away from death for the rest of your life.
Yeah, worried that like your programming is going to fail or something like that.
Right. I will say this. The cryonicists spend way more money preserving people than transhumanists.
Yeah.
At this point. I mean, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. But
as far as I know, the transhumanists are just kind of putting on TED Talks and coding a lot, which is, I don't know if that's their time. Go for it.
And, you know, they're using Kickstarter, so.
Yeah, Kickstarter, all this stuff. So, that's all I had today. Dorian, what do you got to close this down?
I got some stuff. I got some shit I want to say.
Stuff and things.
Stuff. I want to say thanks to you for listening to this podcast, dear listener.
Thank you.
I want to say thank you to Max for putting together some excellent research, as always.
And, you're welcome.
Patiently reading a lot of transhumanist content. It's very good of you.
You just had to read it out loud.
We want to hear from you. This is potentially a controversial episode. We're stating some opinions here. Let us know if you agree or disagree with us. We love hearing from people just about the topics we talk about and maybe future episode ideas and anything you got for us. You can at us on social media at Pre-Dead Boys.
Yep.
Pre-Dead Boys@gmail.com if you want to email us. If you want to support this podcast, the best way you can do it is tell a friend about the pod. Just tell them, hey, there's these two boys that are getting real ranty about people who believe silly things about living forever. You could also send us a little tip of cash to offset our hosting fees at ko-fi.com/predeadboys. Also, if you leave us a 5-star review on Stitcher or iTunes, that helps us get some more eyes on our podcast.
It does.
We will thank you by reading your review here on this podcast. You can hear your words in the dulcet tones of my voice.
I'm surprised more people haven't taken that as a branding opportunity.
I am too. I thought I was going to have to read something really awful, like really shallow advertising. Turns out I just had to read some really filthy comment from one of my good friends, Matt.
Matt.
But we won't revisit that, will we? Still waiting for you to apologize to Max's mom. Our intro and outro music is the song About Time by Brat Curse. Check them out at bratcurse.bandcamp.com. And thanks again for listening. We're going to go live forever and never die.
Live forever.
I promise forever. I will never die.
It's so good.
Max and Dorian here reminding you, you're going to rot. You are. You are going to rot.
You will. Please do not.
You don't have a choice. We're all going to rot.
Even in a computer. I'll hack the computer. I'll make you rot.
I will make you rot. I'll make you rot. All right, bye.
Bye.
Transhumanist views can be traced as far back as the quest for immortality in the Epic of Gilligan.
Gilligan's Island.
The Epic of Gilligan's
Island.
What's on that
damn island?
Yeah. I'll try again.
I took like a super quiet sip of my Waterloo.
Yep.
Because I didn't want to interrupt your reading. And
I'm sorry that was wasted.
Fucking boner it up anyway.
I'm sorry that was wasted on my boner. You know about that, like, boner used to just mean
Batman?
Like kind of a screw up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a baseball thing called Merkel's boner, where he like dropped the ball in an important play.
Yeah.
And so that's yeah, really good.
Merkel's boner Merkel's is a great. I'm not even a baseball fan, you know this, but that I'm a big fan of that combination of words.
Yeah, it's really good.
Merkel's boner. You really screwed the pooch there, you big old Merkel's boner.